Yes, we're out from Partick, Free Church of Scotland continuing. And we want to tell you briefly something of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is very, very important. It's important for every single one of us because we all need a Savior. The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief." Now, we don't make much of Christmas. We don't find it in the Bible, but we do find the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do find His birth being mentioned there and recorded for us. But many people will be getting all kind of excited, and they'll be buying presents, and they'll be looking forward to the festive season. But I want to ask you a question. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come? Why did He leave the realms of glory? Why did the eternally begotten Son of God, why did He leave the realms of glory and come to this world? He didn't come in order that we might have a party. He didn't come in order that we might have a festive season. He came, friends, as the Apostle Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And therefore we can tell right away that He came on a mercy mission. He came with a purpose. And that purpose was to save sinners. Now, who are sinners? You might say to me, well, the sinners, they are those who are in prison. They're the sinners. Well, that may well be true. But the Bible tells us something more than that. It tells us that all of us are sinners. As far as God is concerned, and He's the judge, He tells us in His Word, what does He say? For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We've all, like sheep, we've all gone astray. That's the position of mankind. That's God's verdict upon us. And it doesn't matter how educated we are. It doesn't matter whether we be male or female. It doesn't matter of the color of our skin. It doesn't matter how powerful or how influential we are. God's verdict upon your life and upon my life is that we are sinners. And therefore, that in some sense, it's fair to say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That is, people like you and I. And we know that He has done this. He has done this. Many people have become Christians. And many people have known the joy and the wonder and the glory of having their sins forgiven and being able to face death itself, knowing that they have been justified by faith, knowing that they are right with God. And how have they become right with God? They have become right with God because they have believed upon Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important to stress that when we say believe, it is something more than simply believing some historical facts and figures. It's more than that. Because if that was all that was entailed, the devil believes. He believes all of these things. He believes the Bible. The devil is a wonderful, masterful theologian. He knows these things. He knows the scriptures and he knows theology. But we're told that he trembles. He trembles because he knows that that knowledge, that kind of knowledge, will not save him. And that kind of knowledge will not save you. You need to believe in Jesus in another manner. You certainly need to believe the facts. There's no doubt about that. But you must also trust upon Him. You must receive Him. You must believe all that He says about Himself. What does He say about Himself? He says that He is the Son of God. In other words, He is God in the flesh. This is something that marks out biblical Christianity. The founder of our faith is none other than the Son of God himself. And this Son of God became a man. Yes, he took upon himself our form and our nature and became just like us, sin only excepted. And he did this in order that he would be able to suffer and in order that he would be able to die. Because he could not save us if he did not suffer and if he did not die. That was all part of God's plan, all part of the plan of redemption or the plan of salvation. That had to happen. The Son of God could have come. He could have taken our nature and become like us. He could have taught and preached, and he could have performed miracles and provided a wonderful example for us. But that in itself would not save us. Impossible. We need something more. We need someone who will pay the price of our sins. And that's what Jesus did. And in order to do that, he had to become a man that he would be able to suffer. Because as God, he could not suffer in no way. But as the God-man, as the mediator, he could suffer. And he did. That's what happened on the cross. That's what happened when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There, the Lord Jesus was being forsaken, in some sense, by his Father. Why was he forsaken? He was forsaken because he was being punished in the room and place of sinners. He himself never became a sinner. He never was a sinner. But sin was laid upon him. And therefore God was treating him as a sinner, as an arch criminal. And that's why the Father had to turn away from him. And that's why there was darkness in the brightest part of the day. Between 12 noon and 3 o'clock, there was darkness for 3 hours as the Father forsook the Son. And all of these things are important because they tell us, as the Apostle Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He came in a mercy mission. He came to save sinners. And we're out to tell you, friends, that his work was successful. How do we know his work was successful? Is it not true that Jesus came some 2,000 years ago? How do we know his work was successful? How can we come out in the street in 2021 and tell the people of Partick and Glasgow that they're to put their faith and hope and trust upon the Lord Jesus because his work was successful? It was successful, friends, because he was taken down from the cross dead. He was put into a tomb, and that tomb was sealed. He was dead and buried. He was lifeless. But on the third day, he rose. He rose victorious over the grave. No sealed tomb could hold him back. The time came when he had to rise again, as it had been predicted and prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, and as Jesus had said to his own disciples, that he was going to suffer, he was going to die, and he would rise again on the third day. And therefore, the very fact of his resurrection tells us clearly that his work was successful. In other words, he did everything. Everything that was required of him, he did all. He satisfied the justice of God's holy law. He satisfied all the requirements that God the Father had laid down for him. All of it was satisfied. And therefore, on the third day he rose. Do you think that God the Father would raise up an imposter? If he had not completed the work, do you think that Christ would have risen again? Impossible. absolutely impossible. And do you know, friends, we're going to study the resurrection in our Lord's Day morning service, God willing, on Sunday at 11 a.m. Come along. But there is more evidence for the resurrection than for anything else in the whole of history. It is an indisputable fact that the Lord Jesus Christ arose. I can't take you to his tomb. Why not? Because he's not in the tomb. He was in a borrowed tomb. He went to a borrowed tomb because he knew he wasn't going to be there forever. And we worship a Savior who is alive. Alive forevermore. A Savior who cannot be touched by death again. He is beyond the power and the grasp and the dominion of death. That's the Savior that you're urged to put your faith and hope upon. We're not worshiping someone who was in a manger or who is still in a manger. We're not looking at one who was on the cross or who's still on the cross. And we're not worshiping someone who's in a tomb. No. The Lord Jesus has risen. He's in heaven. He's upon the throne of the universe this afternoon. He is ordering and directing all things. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples. And that's why we come out this afternoon, that you might have your faith and your hope rooted and grounded upon the Son of God, who became the Son of Man in order to save. Many people run from God, and they don't come to the house of God because they don't hear the things that they might like to hear, and they are fearful, and they're fearful of embracing Christianity. They're fearful of calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people are letting others make up their minds and decide for them. But you know, what does the Bible say of Christ? I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's what he says. That's his own words, in his own word. I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That's what he's come to do. And that's why we come out this afternoon, that you might hear about him. For how will you ever call upon the name of the Lord Jesus unless you hear about him? And how are you going to hear unless someone preaches to you? You'll not hear this in the pub. You'll not hear this in the cafe. You'll not hear this in the shop or in the office or in the factory or whatever. You'll only hear this from a preacher. And that's why we come out. We don't want to keep this message to ourselves. This message is so vitally important to every one of us that we want to tell you about your great need, about this great Savior. This one who has come to seek and to save that which was lost and to give his life a ransom for many. And we want to tell you about him, how you can put your trust and your faith upon him. And you might think, well, has it got any relevance to me today? Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe he was a historical figure. I do believe that. But has it got any relevance to me today? Well, yes, it most certainly has. Because one day, friends, we'll meet God. And we'll meet God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give account of our actions, of our deeds, what we have done with our life. God is the one who has made us and formed us. And because of that, therefore, we are accountable unto him. He has given us a law, and we have broken that law, every part of it. We are sinners, therefore. And sin is an extremely serious matter. It's not to be laughed at. It's not to be trifled with. Because sin is any want of or conformity unto the law of God. It is breaking God's law or not fulfilling God's law. And if we sin, we sin against God. And God is an infinite person. And therefore, even the smallest of sins, if we can use that expression, even the smallest of sins is a sin against an infinite person. Let me try and illustrate that to you. If I was to kill a fly, you would think nothing of it. If I was to kill a rat or a mouse, again, you might think nothing of it. If I was to kill a cat or a dog, you could well be offended, and I could well suffer as a criminal. It could be a criminal offense. If I killed a person, I would be taken to court and charged with murder. If I killed the Queen, I would be guilty of treason and would suffer accordingly. Do you see what's happening? The same thing has been committed. Life has been taken. But because it's a human life, it is of more value than a fly. And that is the way with God. God is of infinite worth and value. He is an infinite person. And therefore, to sin against him is an infinite crime. And it is punishable by death. Not just physical death, and not just spiritual death, but eternal death. What is eternal death? Eternal death is to be separated from the gracious presence of God forever. Therefore, sin is an extremely serious matter. But there is hope. Not in ourselves, not in our good works, not in our religion, not in anything that we can do, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the one you are to trust upon. You're to trust upon him. That's why we come out this afternoon to tell you about him. And it's only a little bit that we can tell you. There's so much more to know. And indeed, go home, read your Bibles, offer up a prayer, ask that God would open your minds and your understanding as you read the Word of God. And there, friends, as you read the Bible, you will discover more of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, we're all sinners. That's why we die. Paul talks about this in Romans. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." How did death enter into this world? It wasn't there in the beginning. When God made the heaven and the earth and all the things after 6 days, it was a perfect environment. There was no death. How did death come about? It came about because of sin, when Adam and Eve sinned. That's when death came. And that's when all kinds of suffering and sickness and all kinds of bad weather and the curse that came upon creation, all of that stemmed from that time when Adam and Eve sinned. But you know, friends, there's going to come a day when the curse shall be removed. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, we are told. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come in order that that day might come truly. He has done everything. He has sorted that problem of sin out. He has done something that we could not do ourselves. And if you want to be part of that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, then you must go to the Lord Jesus. You must deal with Him. There's no point in coming to a minister. Don't go to a priest. Don't go to an archbishop or a cardinal. Don't go to the Pope. They cannot save you. Only the Lord Jesus. You must have dealings with Him. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You know, the gospel message is for sinners. And if you reject the Lord Jesus, what you're basically saying is, you're all right. That's really what you're saying. A Christian is someone who has recognized that he is a sinner and that he needs a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus. The Christian is not saying he is perfect. Far from it. But he's trusting in one who is perfect. Who is that person? That person is Christ. That person is the Lord Jesus, who alone can save. Today, we're here in a very imperfect manner. We are seeking to bring the gospel to you. There'll be many faults and failings with us and with our presentation of the gospel. But nevertheless, we are out seeking to draw your attention to eternal facts and realities. Whether we like it or not, friends, we're all getting older. We're all heading towards eternity. The day will come when we shall be gathered to our fathers. How will you fare on that day when life is over and you'll not hear the gospel? There'll be no opportunity to repent and believe. There'll be no opportunity to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ then. That's why we come out now, because the Bible would tell us that today is the day of salvation. Today, this time, this hour, this moment is the time to seek the Lord while He may be found. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. King Solomon, who was the wisest man in the whole of the world at that time, that's what he said. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What are the evil days? The evil days are the days of old age. And they're evil days because when you get to old age like I am, you can't do the things that you once did. You don't have the same energy. You don't have the same enthusiasm. You don't have the same life and vitality. And many of you are thinking it's easy to be a Christian. It's easy to repent and believe the gospel. You think to yourself that, well, I'll have my fill of life. And when I get older, then I'll turn to religion. How many people think like that? When I get older, I'll give time to these things. When I'm about to die, then I'll think about these things. Friends, when you come to die, you'll have enough to die. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted hour. Now is the time. Now's the time to make your calling and election sure. Now's the time to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For we don't know one day from the next. What does Isaiah say to us? Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Don't think that you can call upon God anytime you like. Don't think that God is at your beck and call. God is calling now in the gospel. Here and now he is speaking. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He is near in some sense at this moment to us all. Let us not despise the call of the gospel. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you laboring? Are you straining? I'm not talking about your shopping, but there's a burden on your back. There's a burden on your mind. There's something there at the back of your mind. You can't get rid of it. What is it? It's the fact that you're not right with God. And you're not right with God. Why? Because of sin. That terrible thing called sin. Well, there's a remedy for it. And that remedy is found in the gospel. That remedy is found in a person. It's found in his person. It's found in his work. What did he do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And every Christian is someone who's come to that realization that once he was lost, but the Lord Jesus Christ has found him and given him new life and new hope. And what is that new life and what is that new hope? What does it entail? It entails the forgiveness of sins. It entails being reconciled to God. That's what's in the gospel, friends. That's what's offered to us in and through the Lord Jesus. And it's offered on His terms and on His terms alone. What are these terms? These terms are repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your lying. Turn away from your cheating. Turn away from your adultery. Turn away from your fornication. Turn away from your godlessness and believe upon the Lord Jesus. That's what's required. And He's not going to change these terms for any one of us. He has laid down these terms. These are gospel terms. Repent. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your old life. Take up a new life. All of us by nature were on that broad road that leads unto destruction. But we must be on the narrow road that leads unto life. We must turn our backs upon our old lives and take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must believe in Him. Believe upon Him that He is God's only begotten Son. And He's the only Savior of God's elect. He's the only one who can save us from our sins. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we're going to draw our time to a close. It's been good to be out with you, to bring you something of the gospel news again to you this afternoon. In the will of God, we hope to come back out on another occasion. We do pray that the Lord would bless His word to you. And if you want to come to our services, come along at the Lord's Day, Sunday, 11 a.m. And again, 6 p.m. in the evening. Or on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. May the Lord bless His word to you.